This is probably the most vulnerable video that I've ever done on this channel. Because yes, we're going to be talking about money and business and what that has all meant to me. But this is also very much my personal journey on those fronts where I blew up my life and started over. And in the last year of that starting over, I have truly learned so much about myself, about life, about how money can give you freedom, your own business can give you freedom, but also what it takes to create and then maintain that freedom. So it feels fitting to, on the 1 year anniversary of starting this podcast, in this beautiful brand new studio that I am super excited about. If you are listening to the audio version of this, please can you also pop over to look at the video on YouTube or Spotify. I'm like so excited about this gorgeous new space and everything that's ahead. A little bit of a Making Sense 2.0, if you will, but it felt right to be doing this at a time when we're looking back. But first, let's crack into this. Welcome to Making Sense. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee. And of course, if you are new here, I'm Frances Cook, a financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. And look, a quick recap, because as I said, sometimes we have new people here every week. Don't want you to feel excluded. And I do have to be somewhat careful and what I say, because certain people like to get in my inbox and threaten legal action if I'm too honest. I will point out that defamation laws protect your honest personal opinion, and that I have text message and email records of everything else I say. So come at me, bro. But look, the recap. I have worked as a financial journalist for years now. I was at a big media company, one of the biggest newspapers in the country, big radio network, and I hosted New Zealand's number one business podcast talking about everything money. And then I was about to go on leave for baby number two. And the ground just entirely shifted under my feet. Suddenly, we had this dispute about my work, about ownership of my podcast, and without going too deep into it, there are news articles if you want to Google it. Love it when I make the news myself. Mm-mm. But I just felt so deeply disrespected and that this had all come out of nowhere. At a very vulnerable time, just as I was about to have my second baby, when I felt like I'd done nothing other than work my butt off for years for this company. So, with all of that, it was just impossible for me to stay. You could say that I quit that job. Technically, I guess I did. I would say that I had no choice. So, I became an independent financial journalist and created a whole new life, really. A new business, a new way for me to do things. And I set up this podcast. I have things like the Money Memo and the Market Memo newsletters as well. I can link those in the description for you if you haven't subscribed already. They're good. Just saying. I now work with literally every major news outlet in New Zealand, except for my old employer, which is personally quite funny to me. I now earn more than I used to. That's not to flex. It's just one way of tracking how this shift has gone. And most importantly, this is the biggest thing, I enjoy my job more now because I get to truly, properly control the content and make sure that I am really here for just the audience. First and foremost, giving you the money information that I know you need right now. And I get to lean into the new media forms that excite me the most. Podcasts, video, newsletters. That's how people want their information. And I get to do it right, not surrounded by dinosaurs who don't get it. And I love it. But at the same time, hitting today 1 year since launching this and launching it with a tiny baby on my chest. Baby's first business meeting was at 6 weeks old. Jumping into the independent media world with my own business, whoa, I learned a lot. Made some big mistakes, recovered, kept going. So these are the biggest things that I've learned and that I want you to remember if you're ever thinking about starting over, particularly starting over at a stage of life when many people think you're supposed to have it figured out already. So first of all, start imperfect, but just start. I talk to you all the time about how you can have analysis paralysis with your money and that it's better to start small, start imperfect, but get going. And actually, this applies to everything in your life. It's really cringe already when I look back at my first videos on this channel. It's not been that long, but they weren't good enough. But I had to start. And I hope that in a year, even in this gorgeous setting, if I look back at this video in a year, I hope that I will also cringe, because that will mean that in that time, I've improved and become better. If you don't look back and cringe, that means you haven't improved. And you should always be improving and looking for ways to level up. That is the fun of life. It's looking for that way to be 1% better every time. And before you know it, you are just miles down the track. But you don't get fitter by reading about lifting weights. You get fitter by lifting them. You have to do it. You have to put in the reps. You have to start. And I see this a lot in my DMs too. People saying things like, I want to start investing, but I don't know where to start. Well, do you listen to my podcast? Do you read my market memo newsletter? Then you've probably got the basics. Now it's time to take $5 a week and start. It is fine to not have all the answers. It's fine to improve as you go. Start small. Start imperfect. But start. Next, be nice, but not too nice. Now that I am technically the boss running my own thing, it's really hard because the buck stops with me. And I have really high standards for myself and the work that goes out. I want it to be good. I want it to be good for you. It has to be accurate. It has to easily make sense. And it has to be interesting. Everything needs to be about you guys, first and foremost, the audience. And in order to protect that, I have had to learn to put in some strong boundaries with both advertisers and other people that I work with. I am so lucky to work with some fantastic companies who support this podcast, who support my newsletters, and make it possible for me to make the work that I do and give it to you for free. It is hours of work, not just from me. I say four of us behind the scenes. It's actually more because there's also various contractors who come and go for little bits and pieces. Putting this together is no joke. There's a lot of work that goes into it. And in order to find those good companies that I work with and love to include here, we've had some really important conversations about what this podcast does, which is make money simple and help people towards financial freedom. And then the companies can be part of that by supporting that mission and showing that they are a trustworthy part of that process. And ideally, because there's got to be something there for them too, right? Ideally, they also get some customers through that by showing their value. And some companies haven't necessarily understood that and have maybe wanted to be a little disingenuous, maybe asked me to recommend things that don't really align with the financial principles that we talk about here. And I've had to be really strict on saying, no, that's not part of what we do here. And I'm sorry, I don't think it'll work. I think the most I've turned down, you're going to die because there's some big numbers I've turned down. I turned down $300,000 at one point because the company wasn't the right fit. And I will point out that that's $300,000 for my business, not for me personally, right? But for me to turn around and say no to that was kind of wild, because that is not the background I come from, that if there's money on the table, take it. To be able to turn that down was really important, and to respect those boundaries and to say, I can't do that, and stay true to the mission that we're on here. And there was still a little part of me in the back of my head saying, what are you doing? But I had to, because that company just wasn't the right fit. And I also turned down $180,000 from a different company, different reasons. But once again, it just wasn't right in order to produce the best content for you, the audience. Now, let's be clear. I did try to replace them with other companies because obviously I have employees to pay and a company to keep going and myself as well. But ultimately, I have had to be ready to say no, sometimes in situations where it's really hard to say no. And when people are waving that much money in your face, I don't think also that they are expecting you to say no. You have to be quite firm that, look, I'm sorry, that just isn't for sale. And I think that because I'm really nice, hopefully, on camera, chatting with you, because I love my audience and I hope that comes across. Because of that, though, sometimes people expect me to be a pushover in other areas. But I think there's a huge difference between being nice and being spineless. You can be a really nice, caring person while also knowing what you're here for, who it is that you care about, and who you're stepping up for, which is you, my audience. Because if I need to choose between you, the audience, and an advertiser, audience wins every time. I mean, maybe I could take that quick hit of cash. Believe me, I thought about it. But I would rather go without it and try to figure things out. Because I think it would also be really obvious if I was doing something that I didn't believe in for the money. It's just not going to work. And I'm also going to hate my job in that situation. It's not going to feel good. I'm fortunate to have a really strong money background. Everything we talk about on this podcast is stuff that I actually do in my life. And it's put into practice here as well as in my business. And it means that I can be super firm about what I will and won't do. Which brings me to my next point. Financial freedom is life freedom. Those are some big numbers, right, that I just mentioned turning down. And I really hesitated before putting them in. But I do believe in transparency. And I think it also shows just how important financial security is to then be able to stick to your morals. I think that by having that strong financial background, I'm not as tempted by a sugar rush, quick hit of money to sell out, basically. I've heard people talk about having golden handcuffs in a job that they can't walk away from, even when they hate it, because the money is too good, which sounds horrible, frankly, doesn't it? I have confidence in myself to find other options that maybe aren't as dazzling, maybe not quite such a nice little quick hit, but it means that we do well. We survive pretty happily. But to go further back than that, the fact that I was even able to take the risk of this business at all, it's because I had savings and investments that gave me 6 months runway to know I could give it a real crack and survive. I knew that my family could survive, that we could keep the power on, the mortgage paid for a solid 6 months while I figured this out. And okay, I can say now that I earn more in this business these days than what I earned before, but that wasn't guaranteed. When I started this, I didn't know that was coming. It was super risky. And I don't want to lie to you. It was terrifying, especially with young kids relying on me. Anyone who's read either of my books already knows this, but I'm not someone who grew up with lots. Literally had times in childhood where food wasn't guaranteed, not through neglect, lots of love, just through money issues, life being unpredictable. And then I went and worked in a job that's famously underpaid, hustled for every pay rise I could, but still, journalism, not a massive earner. And everything that I've talked to you about with money over the years, I'm putting into practice myself as well. So believe me when I tell you that I know those first steps are the hardest. The first pay rise, creating those first small savings to create your emergency fund, starting to invest when you've barely got the $5 a week to do it. But each of those little steps forward makes the next step easier. You don't get to those big swings first. You have to take the little steps, which build the foundation for bigger steps. And you keep climbing. And then you have the stability under you to then make the life-changing swing. This was my life-changing swing. And there's no way I could have done it if I hadn't made the painstaking changes over about 7 years before that. Now, plenty of people do it in less time than 7 years. Plenty of people take more time than 7 years. We're all in different situations. And you might hear 7 years and think, oh, that's so long. What is the point? The point is that my life is awesome now. I have FU money, where I can tell some big companies, no, F off, that's not how we do things here. And I can live a really good personal life. I can choose to work with some really good people who respect me. And I was able to take the time to find them and work alongside them because I had the financial breathing space to do so. That 7 years would have passed anyway. And I am so glad that I am not still grinding away at level one, saying it's not worth it to try to get to level two. I'd rather go straight to level five. The beginning is 100%, hands down, the hardest time with your money because the gains feel so small. But everything that I've been able to build has come from the financial lessons that I teach you now, giving myself the stable base that I was then able to leverage to turn into this wicked powerful business that has given me true financial freedom. Next big thing, don't limit yourself based on the idea of who you are. The thing about having this financial freedom is it also meant that I could experiment in areas where I was pretty sure I was going to fail, to be honest. As in, I had enough financial freedom to take a risk. I didn't have enough financial freedom to just outsource everything to people who were already experts. I had to try to figure out a lot of stuff by myself because I was the free option. So I was like, well, I guess we'll just try it. And hopefully not fall entirely on my face. For starters, I never thought I'd be in business at all. Even all the way back in high school, I had a good friend who always said she wanted to run her own business one day. And I was like, yeah, cool. That'll never be me. Sounds hard. And as I went through my career, certain opportunities started to come up. And my response was just like, oh no, not for me. Not my type of thing. And yet, when I was semi-forced into starting my own business, I mean, look, I had a choice. You always have a choice. But out of the choices available, it felt like my only real choice. And I leapt into it. And I love it. I also was so nervous about turning this podcast into an actual business. I was so scared of the commercial side of that, arranging sponsorships, finding companies that got it, because I knew I was going to be picky and that by some standards, I would be difficult to work with because I was absolutely not prepared to compromise on the information given to the audience. So that does make it hard and it does limit your options. And yet, turns out, I've actually been really good at that. I think because I come at it from a really genuine place. So the companies that I've ended up working with, we actually have a really genuine relationship, which has made doing business together, honestly, such a delight. We will literally go out for lunch to do a planning session where we're supposed to be talking about what's happening in the industry, the finance world, what's going on, what the audience needs to know about it. And we end up gossiping about everything else instead. And we have to then later catch up on the actual work part by email afterwards. It is a delight, if not all that productive. And we create good content together because I have been super clear about those priorities. Everyone knows where they stand. And I think sometimes we put ourselves into these mental boxes based on what other people have said to us or what other people think of us. Or we tried something once and it was hard and so we've just never tried it again. And I get all of that. I do. But at the same time, it's so limiting for what you'll end up getting out of life. I think if you want something and getting it means doing something that you're not very comfortable with, try anyway. You might suck. You might fail and need to do it differently. There's more than one way to achieve things too. So if one way doesn't work, cool, try a different one. But it might also turn out that you're really good at that something and enjoy it in a way that you never saw coming. We have so much more capability to learn new things than we think. You do not have to be limited by what didn't work for you in the past. On that note, everything that came before was not a waste. Sometimes you try something, it might not work. Or you learn a new skill, but then you move into something else, you don't use it anymore. The way I got into podcasts in the first place, years and years ago, was just by trying everything, even when I couldn't see the point in it. I have been a radio journalist, a radio producer, a video host, a newspaper journalist, an online journalist. Those all sound probably quite similar, but they're really not. Some are focused on writing, others you're talking live on the radio, others you're creating a radio show that someone else will put to air, but you're deciding the topics and who's good to interview, maybe pre-interviewing them. Other jobs I've done include managing the journalists, that's being a news chief. I did things like pick the news stories that got covered that day and who would cover them, gave them directions on where to go next in order to find out more about a story if they got stuck. I can do some of the quite technical skills too, of things like cutting up audio or changing sound levels. I'm not calling myself an audio engineer. Anyone who does that, please don't think I'm laying claim to your job, but I can do some basics. And that's come in handy many a time. Basically, the entirety of my career in my 20s, if I got asked to do something or fill in for someone, I just said yes and figured it out afterwards. Saying yes, even if I wasn't interested in it, and figuring out how to do it later. So I got to try so many things and build up this really wide variety of skills. Many of them I didn't see a point in them at the time, but I just did it anyway. And so then when podcasting came up, which didn't exist when I graduated uni, just to age myself, there were absolutely no resources for it. But I could be the jack of all trades who produced and hosted and put together my own show at first. I did all of it, which was like four different people's jobs, just me at the beginning. And I got to be on the cutting edge of it. And I'm such a big believer in trying things when they're new, because there's this early grace period when something is new. Nobody knows what they're doing at the beginning of it. And so you can experiment and try things and frankly, be bad. Nobody will really be watching or be able to tell if they are. And then as the thing becomes less new, people will have higher standards. But because you've been there since the beginning, you're now the expert on it. And actually, by now, you're quite good at it, because you got all of your failure out of the way when nobody was watching. I really think that's such a life hack. Try the new thing early. And because I'd had that approach for so long, then when everything fell apart, I could jump out, start my own business, be independent, and then slowly build up a team around me as the business stabilized and I kind of figured out ways to get money coming in. But I was able to do a lot of things myself at first because I had those different skills. And then when I could find good people to help, when I was ready, because I knew enough about their job, then I could talk to them about it properly. That experience of just trying things also gave me the confidence that I could learn how to do things as I went and discovered new things that needed doing. So I'm a really big believer in just saying yes to things, especially in the beginning of your career, and building up this weird amount of skills that you're not at all sure about, because then they combine and they become more powerful together in totally unexpected ways. Even if you build up a skill that you see no point in for now, you just don't know. The world shifts so quickly these days, and you end up repurposing those skills in some very unexpected ways. Now, flip side to that is that nothing has to be fatal. I think I probably sound quite chipper about the journey here so far, but also this time last year, I was just devastated. I thought I would be a newsroom journalist forever. I love newsrooms. There is this energy and electricity to them. I know a lot of people distrust journalists. Part of that I get. I think journalists and the news can come across a bit haughty sometimes, a bit, we know better than you and you should just accept what we say. They could do better on working with the audience, explaining how news gathering works, building that trust. That said, I think journalism is so important. We can't run our lives without proper information, and people in power are always trying to hide things to make their own lives easier or twist things to make themselves look better. So it's really important work, for one thing. But journalism is also so fun. I have literally chased politicians to demand answers on the latest scandal. At the other end of things, I have also held a tiger's paw while it was sedated and getting its teeth cleaned. Those paws are really big and heavy, by the way. Like, I'm sure you weren't going to, but just in case, don't mess with tigers. I was irrationally scared of it waking up. Fun fact, actually, I only got to do that tiger story at all. I was like a baby journalist intern. They wanted a more senior journalist to do it, but he'd had a dream that he was eaten by a lion that night, and so he wouldn't do it, which, like, totally different big cat, but sure, whatever. I got to then do that story, so yay me. I also got to travel to Kenya for work. that's wild. Anyway, lots of fun stories to brag about, but I didn't just work as a journalist. I considered myself a journalist. It was part of my identity. And to lose that was devastating. I really questioned everything that I'd put myself through, my priorities for the past years. To have put in all of that work and dedication and still be treated like that. I was a proper company girl and I thought that would protect me. It didn't. It wasn't full-blown identity crisis. It was just really hard emotionally. But I put one foot in front of the other, built something new, did what I knew needed to be done. And it turns out, love this even more. I actually can say now, I don't even miss my old life anymore. I can say that so genuinely now, which I'm really grateful for, because even in this business now, I make mistakes. Of course I do. I keep trying things. They sometimes don't work. You cut them, you move on. I lean into the things that are working. Things will not work sometimes. Sometimes it's a big deal that didn't work out. Sometimes it's a small deal. Either way, you can recover. You can adapt. You find even better things. You just keep building. The biggest of mistakes don't have to be fatal. That said, to help you through some of those mistakes, you will need your cheerleaders. The exact same situation, work, tasks can feel totally different depending on who you're doing it with. If you've got people doubting you, grumbling, not excited to be there, it is going to feel like wading through treacle. But if you have yes and people, it's going to be amazing. And by that I mean people who are excited to be there and wanting to add to it. Yes and is the improv theory, that you don't say no to any situation that's suggested. You lean into it and you add to it. Yes, and. And those are the people that you need. To be clear, this is not yes people. Yes people are very different to yes and. Yes people will blindly agree to whatever you say. And actually, that's so unhelpful. Something that I have actually struggled with now that I'm the boss is finding people that are confident to give me honest feedback. I am always searching to find people whose opinion I respect, firstly, and then that they are willing to share that opinion with me. It is actually really hard to find someone who matches both those criteria. Genuinely constructive feedback helps you grow and get better. That is just so valuable. That's something that I am always searching for. Yes, and people are a key part of your team, whether they're actually working with you or just part of your wider circle. They're here. They're excited to be here. They have good energy. That's the yes. They're also adding, building. They've got ideas, new suggestions. Their and might even be a slight disagreement to take you in a new direction, but it is still adding to the overall picture. They're such valuable people to find in any area of your life. If you find a yes and person, hold on to them tightly. And in your own life, work on being a yes and person for others around you. It is the best type of person to be. Last one. The best one. Don't avoid the struggle. It makes the best success. I think about this sometimes when I'm with my kids. My instinct is always to make life good for them. And so sometimes you want to take the hard things out of their way. But maybe they're doing a puzzle and they can't figure out the next pieces. Does that mean that you come over and you do it for them? No, you just stole their game. You just stole their opportunity to learn. You stole their opportunity to level up. And I think about that sometimes when I'm having difficulty with something. Because, look, I know it can sound really trite, but those times when you're struggling, it's often when you are learning something that you really need to learn. Every big success I've had, every moonshot I've successfully made has come at the end of something that was so hard and often not something I would have chosen to go through, and I wouldn't choose to go through it again. I have had a few of those in life. Last year was just the latest. It was definitely one of the hardest, but it wasn't the only one. And it's a bit like a phoenix. Sometimes you kind of have to burn, to be reduced to nothing, in order to come out of it renewed. The burning, the fire still hurts, but you can't avoid it. It's in solving those problems that you build something bigger and better. The struggle can be hard, but it can also lead you somewhere awesome if you're willing to learn the lessons from it. People have asked me a lot in the last year how I'm doing. And I think what I've landed on is the journey sucked. It did, it sucked. But the destination has been amazing, and I wouldn't trade where I am now if it meant that I avoided that journey. It was worth it. It was just hard. So if you're going through something right now, I hope that you also end up at a destination that makes it worth it. And if you feel like it's not worth it, maybe you're not at the destination yet. So, for what it's worth, that's what I learned by burning my life down and starting over. Before you head out, hit subscribe on Making Sense so that you never miss a trick with your money, and send this episode to a friend so we can all do better with our money together. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.